that holds that chain. Sorry, the chain holds that pendant. So Mahabharata is the chain and Bhagavad Gita is that crest jewel. That it's Bhagavad Gita is being held by Mahabharata. So what is this again? What is this? How is this relevant to us? It's relevant to us because in the beginning, before the war, when Krishna and Arjuna both went to Krishna was approached by Arjuna and Duryodhan. We all know the story. What did Duryodhan want? The army, the 18 Akshohini Sainya of Krishna. And what did Arjuna want? Krishna himself, even though he knew he's not going to fight. So we all know what, who chose what and who got what, and we also know the ultimate result. And we also are constantly faced with this option. Do we want Krishna's external energy or do we want the internal energy of Krishna? This is like actually the constant choice for us every day. And like I was telling about the pendant and the pearl necklace, the intricacies of each of the pearls, I was actually studying this concept of how the Mahabharata has 18 parvas, the 18 divisions. And how many chapters Bhagavad Gita has? 18. How many days did the battle take place for? 18. And how many how much of the soldiers and cavalry, the what Krishna gave to Duryodhan was? It was 18. 18 Akshohini Sainya. And there are many other things which also comes to an 18. So this is like a perfect plot. Perfect plot of mystery, murder, crime, romance, war, that nobody can beat it. And not only that, it's also a perfect plot of the people call it mythology because, you know, like there's always all these books written by, all these novels written by Karmi people, which is very, very famous. The young people, they love to read these things. But Mahabharata beats all of that. In fact, if we take Mahabharata was written by Vyasa. And if we take the birth of Vyasa, I mean, it's so incredible, basically. How was Vyasa born? By who was Vyasa born? Satyavati. And how? By Parashara Muni, who came and he got attracted. And if we want to even the whole birth of Satyavati. You know how she was born? She was actually born, one time there was this great rishi, he was a king. He was a great king who liked to do austerities. So he was doing austerities. He was doing meditation in the forest where he was married to this beautiful queen and it was a time for them to conceive the child. But the forefathers wanted this king to go and catch a deer for their sacrifice. So he actually went away to the forest. But he was constantly thinking of the wife. And at that time, this king basically was meditating, how can I actually, because it was a time of conception for the wife, the queen. And when the queen was approaching, he had to go away. So he saw a hawk flying over the sky. And he called that hawk and he said, look, actually I need a favor from you. Can you take my semen and give it to my wife so she can actually conceive? You know, incredible. And then the hawk said, all right, I can do this service for you. Then it took the semen of the king and it was flying very carefully over the sky. And then what happened was another hawk thought it was taking some meat. So he dashed him and then the semen fell into Yamuna River. So when the semen fell into the Yamuna River, a female fish swallowed it. And then a fisherman caught this fish and then he brought it and he cut it open. And when he cut it open, twin babies came out of this fish. And one was a boy and one was a girl. So the girl was Satyavati and the boy was the king who became Matsya. How? What actually happened was the fisherman decided these two babies need to be given to the king because it was found in the kingdom. So he actually took the babies and he offered it to the king. Actually, who was the king? It was the same king, the king Vasu, who had done the meditation and whose semen was actually taken away and all the story. He doesn't know this. But then the king accepted the boy and he said, you keep the girl and you raise it yourself. Then that was the history of Satyavati. And then, of course, we know the story of Bhishma. He is not, we know the story of Vyasa. Then from Satyavati and Parashara was Vyasadeva was born. And in fact, when we say he was born, he was not born like ordinary human beings. Immediately, first of all, she said, how can we conceive now, you know, in the middle of the boat, all the sages are around. Then he created a mystical cloud and everything became foggy. And then right there was Vyasadeva was conceived. And you know, when Vyasadeva was delivered, he immediately grew up and became a big boy. It did not take all the childhood and everything and everything. And then once he was born, he decided that his mind was already fixed into austerities. He told Satyavati, I'm going out to the forest to meditate, okay? Whenever you need me, you call me and I will come. I mean, this is just to give an example of what kind of amazing, incredible stories Mahabharata consists of. And again, what is the relevant is that the consciousness can always be fixed on Krishna. What is Krishna's plan in all this? Because Pandavas and Kauravas is Krishna's energy. And here we are talking about, Prabhupada is talking about Krishna and Arjuna's strength together. And there are three different points that I want to bring up. One is how Krishna and Arjuna got their conscious. Why is it transcendental? Why is Bhishma not transcendental? First of all, we should understand that Bhishma was a devotee of Krishna. And Bhishma is not an ordinary person. If we want to talk about Bhishma's birth, that is another interesting story. Bhishma was not an ordinary human being. He was actually a celestial personality. He was one of the eight Vasus in the celestial skies. So once one day they all came down, all the brothers, eight brothers came down to Vasishtha Muni's ashram. And when they came to Vasishtha Muni's ashram, they saw this beautiful cow, Surabhi, which was fulfilling all the desires and it was giving everything needed for the sacrifice. And they desired to have the Surabhi. So one of the Vasus, Dhyus, he was the eldermost or youngermost. He actually decided that he should take the Surabhi cow and present it to his wife. And he actually took the cow. And then when Vasishtha came back, the cow was not there. So then he closed his eyes and immediately he found out that these were the brothers who took away the cow. And the brothers also supported him. So when they went back to their celestial planets, when Vasishtha figured out what had happened, he cursed them. And they said, he said, you're going to be born on earth. No, actually, for human beings, like, okay, going to be born on earth, what's wrong with that? But for them to be born on earth, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, of course, even in the heavenly planets, there is that, but it's a different dimension. So then Bhishmadeva and everybody else, I mean, he was not Bhishma yet. He was a Dhyus, and all the brothers went up to the sage and they begged forgiveness. They didn't know who they were messing with. So they, please forgive us, you know, give us another chance and please forgive us. And generally, you know, in all these stories, they don't take back the curse. They cannot take back the curse. So what they do is they give another benediction. Interesting, no? So the another benediction was, okay. So you people will be born, but I will give you the chance that as soon as you're born, you can go back. Except for Dhyus, who actually did the theft. He took the cow. So I'm not going to allow him to go back. So he will have to stay. Meanwhile, when all this was happening, there was another story in another side of the heavenly planets that Ganga Devi, somehow she was walking towards the sages and the Brahma and all the other demigods, and somehow she was wearing a particular sari that exposed certain parts of her body, and everybody put their head down except for one person, Mahabisha. Mahabisha was a sage who looked at Ganga Devi and stared at her. When Brahma saw this happening, he cursed them. He said, you both will be born on earth and you will have children and you will have a family life. And they were like, oops, again, for a human being, getting married, having children, what's wrong with that? But for them, it was like a prison. And then all these Vasus, they approach Ganga Devi and they ask, please, nobody else can be our mother. only the purest of the pure can be our mother. I mean, great Vasus. Who can be an ordinary lady cannot be a mother. So then he requests Gangadevi, and Gangadevi says, who do you want as your father? That's another story. So when they ask, who do you want as a father? Then they say, we want King Pratipa to be the father. And then she goes to King Pratipa. So he's meditating. And then she goes and sits down on his right lap. And then he opens his eyes and says, Gangadevi, what do you want? And then she says, I want to marry and have a child with you. And the children. And then he says, sorry, you sat on the wrong lap. You're supposed to sit on the left if you wanted me to be a husband, because right lap is reserved for daughter and daughter-in-laws. So you will marry my son. Then that's when King Shantanu was born. And she knew that Mahabisha will be the one that she will have the children with. So Mahabisha was Shantanu. Mahabisha was the sage who stared at Ganga. And then he became Shantanu, the king, famous King Shantanu. And Shantanu was walking, and also observe the chronology. Observe that Gangadevi was always already existing. Probably when she approached King Pratipa, I don't know how old was she? And Shantanu was not even born. So it's a different dimension. Then he was born, then he grew up, then he became the king, then he went to the river and he was standing there and he saw this beautiful girl, Ganga. He approached, can I marry you? She said, yes, but you cannot ask me who I am, where I come from, and any other question. And he says, no problem, no problem. He was so attracted to her. No? Then she said, if I marry you, you cannot question anything that I do. Anything. Okay, no problem, no problem. You know, men can be impulsive when it comes to... Then he said, okay. Then they got married. They had the first child. So the wife took the baby, drowned it in the Ganga. But he cannot ask anything. He promised. Promises are very dangerous, you see. Then second child was born. She took it, drowned it in the Ganga. Can't say anything. Third child was born, drowned it in the Ganga. Fourth child was born, drowned it in the Ganga. Fifth child was born, drowned it in the Ganga. Sixth child was born, drowned it in the Ganga. Seventh was born, drowned it in the Ganga. Then the king could not take it anymore. Eighth child was born. She was taking the baby towards the Ganga. He was about to drop the child in the river. Stop it! Stop it! I cannot tolerate anymore. What are you doing? Bye-bye, King Shantanu. Ganga left without answering anything to him. She went back to the celestial planets. And then she said, because you ask, this child will come back to you. So after many years, of course, then, you know, then there's the story of how other things happened, how the marriage, the second wife happened. But then he was there, and then one day he saw this beautiful boy stopping the waves of the river through the quivers. And then King Shantanu saw and he said, wow, who is this boy? That was Bhishma. And then Gangadevi comes and tells the whole story and says, this boy is actually the Vasu, and all the stories revealed to him. Then Bhishma comes. So Bhishma is actually a very great sage who came down for a particular purpose set by the Supreme Lord. We can actually see how in his life he was always noble, always righteous, always truthful. And in fact, he lived very long. And one of the reasons that he lived very long was because the brothers, the seven brothers, when they heard that he would have to stay back, they all said, we will give 1/8 of our powers to this boy, this brother. So because Bhishma had 1/8 of the power of the seven Vasus, he lived very long. And he was very, very powerful. And then he took a vow of never getting married so that Satyavati's child can actually become the king. So then they had Vichitravirya, and it's another story. It'll never end, you know. They say in India, if you start telling stories like this, don't start your Ramayana and Mahabharata because it's going to take forever. But today's story is about conscious. So the first thing is, we'll talk about the Panchajanya conch. So the Panchajanya conch, what time am I supposed to stop? 8:25. So Panchajanya conch, how did Krishna get this? So the story is that there was this Shankasura. He was living in the ocean. He was also called Panchajanya. He was a very, very powerful demon. So one day when Garga Muni, who's the guru of Krishna and Balaram, he was playing around the beach, this demon captured this boy and he took him under the ocean. And when the time came for Gargamuni to actually ask for Guru Dakshin, means a donation to the Guru. So the Guru, what did he ask? He said, I want my son back. So Krishna and Balaram, they went into the ocean. And when they went into the ocean, this demon took the form of a conch. Huge, big conch. And the Krishna and Balaram went inside the conch to look for the boy. And they didn't find him. Then what did Krishna do? He took the conch with him. He went to Yamaloka. And when he went to Yamaloka, he blew that conch. And the sound vibration was so amazing. Yamaraj came and he paid his obeisances. He said, oh, my dear Krishna and Balaram, what can I do for you? And then Krishna and Balaram expressed that there is the son of our guru who came here due to his own past karmic activities, but we want to take him back because we want to pay our guru dakshin. So Yamaraj said, no problem, please take him. So then they brought the boy down, gave it to their Guru Maharaj, and then Krishna remained with the Panchajanya conch. So this is how Krishna got the Panchajanya conch. And Krishna loves Shankha. And there are many, many, many beautiful songs of how Krishna holds his Shankha. Shankha Chakrava Dharisi Bhaktara Manada Pankava Pariharisi. It is described in the Shastras, and the Vaishnava Acharyas glorify the purpose of Krishna holding Shankha and Chakra. The Sudarshana Chakra and Shankha are held because devotees sometimes have Shankha, Panka. Panka means worry. Shankha means doubt. So Krishna holds the Shankha and removes all the doubt and fear from the heart of the devotee. Bhaktara Manada. In the heart, whenever there is fear, whenever there is doubt, whenever there is uncertainty, the Shankha is what removes that. In fact, that's why we blow the conch. It is very, very auspicious when we blow the conch. All the negative spirits and the ghosts, they all run away when the conch shell is blown. And in fact, every time Krishna is called upon to wake up or go to sleep, the conch shell is blown. Shankha galanada dinna Padmanabha Shri Purandara Vithala. This is how we actually, every time we sing to the Lord, we have to mention his paraphernalia as well. So that's another one. And Shankha Chakra Gada Padma Ankita Padava. It's like a human being. When we say, how does the person look? You know, what does the person have? Oh, they wear sari and then they have their long hair or short hair, or their shikha is long. You know, these are the descriptions. So when you want to describe Krishna, you have to describe his Shankha. It is said that Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. This is like, without that, you know, Vishnu's personality cannot be described. It is a part of the Lord. Okay. Then we will move to, oh yeah, I forgot one more thing is, we wear the shaka. This is also conch. This is very auspicious. It is said to give peace of mind. As soon as you wear this, the mind becomes calm, peaceful. So that's why the conch shell is worn. I mean, maybe mainly to keep peace for the husband, you know. If the wife is peaceful, it's good for the husband. Then, in this purport, Prabhupada is saying, besides that, the chariot that Krishna and Arjuna were on, it was given by Agni. Okay, now it begins the Mahabharata section of what happened with Agni and how actually Arjuna got his Devadatta conch, because that's the whole story here, Arjuna and Krishna's conch, it's transcendental. And I dedicate this story of Agni and Maya Danava, the next part of the story, to my father who's watching on TV here. It is his 60th anniversary, it's his 60th birthday, and he always told me these pastimes as a child, and I thank him, so I'm very grateful for him to teach me all these stories. So what happens is that Krishna and Arjuna, they are walking in the forest. This is at the time when, you know, when the Pandavas came back from exile. Finally, because of Bhishma and Drona preaching to Duryodhana and say, please don't do this injustice. Give them some little village. And then at that time, Pandavas were given the Kandava Prastha, which later on became Indraprastha. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was ruling. Everything was peaceful because he was a good leader. All people were good. So everything was going fantastic. And at that time, Krishna and Arjuna were walking in the forest with Draupadi and Subhadra and all the beautiful women. They were taking a picnic. And at one point, you know, ladies were having their time and men wanted to have their time. So Krishna and Arjuna walked into the forest and they were going there. And they were sitting down in the cooling waters with the beautiful flowers and talking to each other. And a Brahmana comes there. Oh, my dear Krishna and Arjuna, please, I'm a very voracious eater. I'm very hungry. Can you please feed me? So Arjuna, you know, being very powerful warrior, he says, definitely, if we can, we will definitely try to feed you, help you, no problem. What kind of food do you want? He asks. And this Brahmana says, I don't want any ordinary food. Actually, I'm Agni. I want to devour the whole Kandava forest. Oh, trouble now, right? So then he explains, you see, I want to devour this Kandava forest and I am being disturbed by Indra because there is Takshak. Takshaka still living here. And so he's not allowing me to take up the forest. In fact, to tell you, I tried 6 times, but I'm not able to. So can you please help me? Actually, I'll take you back a little bit, flashback. What is actually happening here is Dvaipayana. Dvaipayana is the disciple of Vyasadeva. He is the first one who narrated Mahabharata to King Janamejaya at the sacrifice of the snake sacrifice when Janamejaya wanted to take revenge because Parikshit Maharaj, who was his father, was bitten by Takshak. So Janamejaya said, I'll kill all the snakes. So he was doing this sacrifice. And at this time, we have, see, father, Srimad Bhagavatam, the son, Mahabharata. So he heard the whole story and Suta Goswami repeats what was happening. So at this point, when Janamejaya was hearing this story, he said, oh really, Arjuna and Krishna was approached by Agni to devour Kandava forest. Why? What happened to Agni actually? They became curious to know what was the story behind. So then another story starts inside there. So there was this, what actually happened with Agni was, there was a, okay. Agni does not actually tell the story. This is actually the Dvaipayana telling to Janamejaya. He describes, one time there was this great king who was very much also addicted to fire sacrifices. So he was actually getting all the brahmanas to come down and do the yagya. The brahmanas had done so much yagya that their eyes were becoming blind because of the smoke. So at one point these sages said, sorry, you know, we cannot do this anymore. So, you know, we are going. So they were going away and then the king went and then said, please, my dear brahmanas, can you come back to do it? He said, no, we cannot do it. Go to Shiva. Shiva will help you. Then the king starts to do austerities, and after long 6 months, he did austerity for 6 months, then Lord Shiva appears to him. And when Lord Shiva appears, he asks, what do you want? He says, I want to perform sacrificial offerings, ceremonies, please help me. And Shiva says, I'm sorry, I don't do this thing. But okay, I'll send you Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa Muni was sent. And Durvasa Muni helped this king perform 100 sacrifices. So after these sacrifices, guess what happened? Agni had to drink all this ghee. So drinking all this ghee, he became sick. He became ill. So that's when he went to Brahma. This is, see, connection. And that's when things happen, it's not illogical. There's always a reason. There's always a particular curse. There's always some reason, benediction. So then Brahma said, no problem, you'll get back your health, don't worry. So the first time Agni tried to devour the forest, all the fire and all the animals started running away. And what happened was the elephants and all the animals, they became friends, and all the elephants went into the nearby river, took the water and put off the fire. So then Agni's efforts were finished. So several times, like the sixth time, Agni tried and he was unable to do it. And at that time he went back to Brahma. Then Brahma thought, okay, I know the solution. Go to Krishna and Arjuna. They will help you. So they went to, and then that's when he took the form of a Brahmana. Then he came to Krishna and Arjuna and he said, please help me. So what happens now? Arjuna says, I will help you. I told you I will feed you, so I will try to help you. Okay, they try to help, but then Arjuna says, but my dear Agni, we don't have any weapons. We don't have any chariot. How we are going to fight? So you have to give us the best of the weapons. Give us two quivers of, no, this is actually Agni. Agni says, okay, no problem, I'll arrange everything. Then he sits down in meditation. You see, even the demigods do meditation. Sits down in meditation, and then he summons Varuna. Varuna and Agni are friends apparently. So then Varuna immediately comes and says, yes, my dear friend Agni, what can I do for you? Then Agni explains, please, there's Krishna and Arjuna who are ready to fight even against Indra, so that I can actually cure my sickness by devouring this Kandava forest along with the animals. So please give them two quivers which are inexhaustible, and give them a chariot that they can conquer the three worlds. It should be so dazzling that as nobody can look at it for a long time. And also please give the Gandiva. So this is a request of Agni to Varuna. So immediately Varuna gives all the required weapons and he gives the chariot. And this is the purport's answer. When Prabhupada says Agni gave him the chariot, why he gave? So he can fight against this. So this chariot was so powerful. You can't even look at it for a while. What to speak of fighting with somebody on that chariot? Then after this war started, Arjuna started to shoot all these arrows, and all these Indra was trying to, fighting against Indra is not a joke. Why Indra mainly wanted to fight? Because of Takshak. But Takshak was already, he had already left the Kandava forest. But Takshak's wife, the snake wife and the snake baby, they were still in the forest. So what happened was, there was all this fight and all the animals were being burnt alive, and Agni was, while he was eating, and the war is going on, the shooting of the quivers, and Indra is attacking, and then they see Takshak's wife going up in the sky, and the baby Ashvasena was the child of Takshak, the baby snake, Takshak's baby. So they went up in the sky. The mother, she took the son, ate the son inside so she can save him. Then she went up, and Arjuna, seeing this, shot the arrow and killed the wife of Takshak. Then the son escaped. Okay, so I'll ask you at the end, who are the survivors? So you have to tell me. Then after this, at one point it was shooting. Then there was another person who was Maya Danava himself. He was about to be shot by Krishna, and even Agni wanted to kill Maya Danava, right? He was devouring everything, and it came to the point of Maya Danava, and Maya Danava immediately fell at the feet of Arjuna, and he requested, please don't eat me up, please save me. So because Arjuna gave shelter to Maya Danava, Krishna and Agni both let him go. Okay, so Maya Danava was let go, and that was the second survivor. Then there was another story there. There was a sage who actually had four children, and they were actually, it's a bird. They took a form of a bird. So these birds were being protected by the mother, and the mother was saying, please go in. And the father had gone to the second wife. So the first wife and the children were left in the Kandava forest. So these are very special, these are special beings, because they are rishis but in the form of these birds. So they, when they went inside, the fire was going on. So the mother said, go inside that little hall. And the babies, they said, no, we don't want to go there because the mouse will eat us. And she said, no, I saw the mouse leaving the hole. You can go there. And then one of this child, the elder one, he was very spiritual. I mean, the sage's child, it started preaching to the mother. Why are you so afraid of our lives? We are not the body after all. Why are you so afraid of us? You go and escape. Don't worry about us. So these birds started to say this. And then when the birds start to, like, basically just hang around, one of the other bird called Drona, they are different four birds. They were called Shrutaka birds. I'm not sure exactly what they were called. Sorry. So basically they started to pray. They started to pray. And as soon as they were prayed, Agni actually took their prayers because their prayers were very innocent. And they also, Agni was so pleased with these birds that he also gave a benediction. And what was that benediction? They asked, please kill that cat. They have always been troubling us. Please kill, devour that cat, burn that cat. So that's when the Drona spoke up, the Drona bird, and then the cat was devoured. And so these were the other birds. So who are the six survivors? Okay. So after this, the war ended and Arjuna and Krishna were victorious, and Indra became amazed by seeing their powers and how amazing they were. Then finally he let go of these six survivors, and Indra came down and wanted to give benediction to Arjuna and Krishna. And Indra asked, what can I give you? Because Indra let go when he heard that Takshak was not there. He was happy that Takshak was not there because Takshak was Indra's friend. So at that time when Indra left, Arjuna and Krishna asked, they asked Indra to give all Indra's weapons. So all Indra's weapons were given to Arjuna. Still we haven't come to the conch, you see. Now, Maya Danava, he wanted to be grateful to Arjuna. So he kept on going back to Arjuna and said, what can I do for you for saving me? Arjuna said, no, don't worry, you're being grateful, it's enough. No, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? What can I do for you? So he kept on and on and on. So Arjuna and Krishna started walking into the forest and Maya Danava followed them. So at one point Arjuna thought, okay, this guy is not going to leave me. He wants to do something for me. So he asked Krishna, what do you think? Tell him something. He looked at Krishna. So then Krishna looked at Maya Danava and he said, yes, I have a task for you. Please build Indraprastha city in such a beautiful way, using all the architectural skills of the devatas, of the rakshasas, and of the humans combined together. It should be incomparable. Maya Danava said, okay, I'm on the mission. So then at one point he said, everything was going fine, and you know, Yudhishthir Maharaj came to know, and Maya Danava was getting the thing constructed. And at one point he told Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, I would like your permission to go to Vindhu Lake. I want to go to this Vindhu Lake because there he revealed the secret. You see, there is one Vrishaparva weapon hidden under this Vindhu Lake. And that weapon is equal to 100,000 clubs, ordinary clubs. And I think that weapon will be very, very good for Bhima. It will help him immensely. I want to gift him this. And also, there is also another conch, which is very, very powerful, very divine conch called Devadatta. I want to get it for you. And that's when Maya Danava goes. And he actually goes because there is a king called Vrishaparva in the Vindhyas. And he wants to get all the jewels and all these mystical objects from that place so he can make interior decoration for Indraprastha, because he had to do an amazing task. So he goes there, he gets the conch, he gets the weapon for Vrishaparva, weapon for Bhima. He gets all the jewelry from the king and then he comes back. When he comes back, he basically gives to Arjuna and Bhima the weapons, and Arjuna becomes very happy with the Devadatta. And because it was given by Maya Danava, Deva Datta means given by the Deva. Datta means given. Deva means divine. So this conch became very, very precious. And that's why to conclude these stories and how the relevance of Mahabharata works for us is Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partho Dhanurdharaha Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhutir Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. Wherever there is Arjuna and Krishna, the victory is definite. So it is up to us at every point to choose, even though it may seem difficult, to choose between Krishna or Maya. Because Maya may seem more powerful, 18 Akshohini Sainya. But we should always choose what is right, just like the Pandavas did. So I want to conclude by saying that we actually belong to the Pandavas. So when we are aware, and whenever we hear Mahabharata, we should say, oh, Pandavas, that's my party. That's where I belong. So in this way, we can relate to each of these personalities who are the pearls in that garland and try to understand their motivation, their glories, and how they make this whole thing as a service to Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments? We have 5 minutes. So we can end here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.